So we're continuing our dating class. We had discussed the importance of checking out the person you're going to date. We discussed how to keep a dating notebook. And now we should discuss a little bit, how do you get set up? So you should tell everyone when it comes time that you want to be set up. You should tell your friends. You should tell your relatives. You should tell your rabbis. We discussed that you shouldn't trust any shadchanim, but some of them are actually good. And it's worth hearing what they have to say. You never know where it'll come from. The person that set me up with my wife had met me once. I set up people with their wives the first time I met them, more than one person. So the fact that someone knows you or doesn't know you is not necessarily the gauge. I could tell you more than one person who I set up with their wives, and I never had a conversation with them until I set them up with their wives. That was my first conversation with them. So that's not a, you know, people sometimes say, I want someone who really knows me, who really knows her. Oh, okay, maybe. Should take every offer seriously and look into it. If it makes sense, good, and if not, not. and then we discussed the pitfalls of internet dating, but sometimes a guy is living out in Holland or somewhere else. There might not be any other option. So, okay. Proceed with caution, right? At your own risk. But try to do some research. How do you deal with a shadchan? So, shadchan won't like what I say now, but I think that everything a shadchan says should be taken as a 50-50 possibility it's the truth. Meaning, you're not that much smarter when you ended the conversation than you were when you started the conversation. She's very nice, you know, but you have to be polite. Don't go telling them, well, my rabbi said you're all liars. I'm a shadchan too, so, you know, maybe I'm also a liar. But you have to take it with not a grain of salt, but a salt shaker's worth of salt. You know, take the information and then look into it. Get references. You have to treat them nicely. So don't treat them not nicely. There's a girl who I called to set up. And the first time I called her, she said, oh, it's you? So I said, no, it doesn't have to be. So she said, no, if you called. I said, no, you don't have to. She said, no, if you called, okay. So I thought maybe it was a bad day. Maybe, you know, I got on her bad side. I couldn't figure out what I did wrong. Fine, she goes out with the guy a few times. Doesn't work. I call her up second time. And she says, oh no, it's you again? So I said, honestly, you don't ever have to talk to me again. And she said, no, if you called already. I said, really, you don't ever have to talk to me again. Bemit. She said, no, if you called, let me hear. And I forced myself to set her up, and she's married to the guy. But then there's another girl who did the same thing to me. Every time she answered the phone, she answered the phone with, I can't believe you're calling me again. So I called her twice, and the third time she did it, the third time I set her up, I said, don't worry, you won't hear from me again. And her father has been begging me for 7 years to set her up again, because I set up her sister with her husband. And her father has been chasing after me for 7 years, and I just said, look, your daughter doesn't want to hear from me, I'm not going to do it. No. So it's very not nice. I can tell you as a shadchan, we get treated very not nicely. I'm telling you two stories. It's not right. You know, you don't want to believe what I say, don't believe it. One girl, she knows I set up her sister. The other girl, I ended up setting her up. Did I ever get an apology from one of these two creatures? No. I don't know what else to call them. What did I do? You know, I set her up with her husband. You'd think, at the end, a person would come and say, thank you, that's what I think a human being, how I think a human being would behave. Or no, okay, just say that. So, I'm just telling you that... you know, as much as I say, don't trust shadchanim and check out the information, the flip side of it is that shadchanim get a really rough deal. At the end of the day, you're doing people a favor when you're setting them up. You're encountering a lot of expenses. When a person sets someone up, the phone calls, the time involved, it's a lot of expenses. I could tell you our phone bill for shiduchim was over 2,000 shekel a month, just on shiduchim phone calls. Meaning we saw the difference between months where we didn't deal in Shidduchim and months that we did. 2,000 shekel is a lot of money. People are doing you a favor when they're setting you up. So you should treat them that way. They don't owe you anything. It's nice of them that they're doing it. And they're going to do the best they can. And if it takes them time to get back to you, fine. It's not a pleasant situation to be in. But you have to understand that there's a limit to what a person can do. People have families. People have other obligations. People can try contacting you and try contacting the girl. And sometimes people forget. And sometimes things take time. When you're in the parasha, when you want to get set up, it's first and foremost in your mind, and you think that everyone else is they should be very quick to deal with it. And the fact of the matter is that you're thinking of yourself, but if you think of a shadchan who sets up a lot of people, so then, yes, ideally they'll do things quickly, but realistically, things take time. Hopefully they don't. I believe in doing things as fast as possible. And even so, I've had times where I was not able to follow through on a shidduch for a few days. But the guy told me yes, and I didn't have a chance to call the girl for a few days. Sounds funny. Sounds irresponsible. You'll see. Start offering 10 shidduchim, 20 shidduchim a day, and then see if you can keep up with the pace. You have to be understanding of the shadchan. It's important to call back a shadchan. People sometimes figure, I'm busy, I'm not going to call them back. Why? People sometimes don't bother calling back and saying, I'm not interested. They're shooting themselves in the foot. My policy is if I offered the guy a girl and he didn't come back to me, so it's going to take a few months before I set him up with another girl. Because my assumption is I set him up with someone. He didn't tell me, so I guess he's busy. He must be seeing someone else. That's fine. But if he's not going to come back and tell me, you know, I'm available and I'm not interested in that shidduch, so in my mind, I have an offer standing. You know, there's an offer pending for him. I'm not thinking about him for a few months. I got other things to do with my time. If he wants to come back and tell me, you know, that shidduch you want to set me up with, I don't think it's for me. Fine, so then I'm back to square one, but at least I know where I'm standing. If he doesn't bother coming back and telling me that, so when am I going to figure it out? After a few months. You lost a few months. It's on your time, not mine. I'm not going to chase after a person to get an answer. I did enough to chase after him to set him up. It's his job to come back to me and tell me I'm not interested. Why don't people do that? Because most shadchanim will spend a lot of time arguing with you. What do you mean you're not interested? She's a great girl. She's everything you wanted. Don't you think you should be less picky? Do you think you'll ever get married if you behave this way? Who's going to set you up? And what type of girl do you want anyways? Yes, I understand. Some shadchanim can be very nasty. But you still have to go back and deal with that. I'm sorry. If you're going to deal with the shadchan, then you have to call back and say thank you very much. But I don't think that's something I'm interested in. Now the shadchan might put you on the spot. Well, why not? And you have to think what you're going to answer. If through verifying about the girl you found out some not so complimentary information, don't tell him that. It's not nice. Don't ruin the girl's reputation. You could just say, look, I felt that we didn't match, but you better come up with something reasonable because otherwise the shadchan's left scratching his head, and some shadchanim won't want to deal with that. I'm respectful, meaning I feel that that's not my job. You told me no, I respect that. Now it's my job to look for the next one. But many shadchanim will say, well, if you don't give me a better picture of what you're looking for, how am I ever supposed to set you up? Fine, I don't agree with their approach, but you have to deal with them. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when you'll be a shadchan, don't do that to the people. Respect their wishes and move forward. You have someone good, you don't have someone fine. What can you do? Sometimes it is helpful to tell the shadchan, you know, I had a difficult story. A Rebbe of mine who also deals in shidduchim wanted me to go out with his daughter. So I said, I don't think it's a good idea. So he wanted to know why. So I told him. I said, I met your daughter once. We were in a car together. And I saw that she has a very strong personality. And when she decides something, she's very firm in her decisions. And I feel that won't work. That she has too strong a personality. I won't be able to build a home with that type of personality. So he was shocked. He said, you saw that from one car ride? I said, yeah. So he said, okay, you're right, I can't argue with you. Fine. I didn't feel I had a way out. What was I supposed to do? I don't think it's a fault, it's a personality trait. I'm not saying something bad about the person. Everyone's entitled to have different types of personalities. That was her personality. Not something bad. It's just not something that I wanted to work with. So I'm saying sometimes you do have to answer why you think that's not right for you. Provided that it's not something that's hurtful, that's not something that's derogatory. You shouldn't say something bad about a person. But if it's not for you, it's not for you. Maybe we'll say one more point and then I'll get to you, Uri. Sometimes you have a scenario where the shadchan set you up and afterwards the girl went back to the shadchan and spoke really badly about you. And then you're in a situation where you might have to share with the shadchan a little bit of what happened at the date just to save your name. You don't have to sit silently and let someone ruin your reputation. Again, the balance as far as halacha goes is gentle, but that is still the case. Meaning, if the girl went and tried to ruin your reputation to ensure that the shadchan would keep setting her up, and she says things about you that really just aren't so, then just put. How do you find out? I had shadchanim tell me. I went out with the girl that showed up to the date, so I was wearing a black yarmulke and decided this wasn't going to work. And then went back to the shadchan and said I wasn't willing to discuss anything with her. So the shadchan came back to me and said, why weren't you willing to discuss anything with her? I said, I was willing to discuss it. She didn't think anything I said made any sense. When we spoke about chinuch, she automatically wrote me off and said, yeah, I know you're going to want to send to Haredi chinuch, and there's nothing to talk about. Anything I tried to say, I had nothing to say. She decided everything before I said anything. I what am I supposed to say? It was a monologue. She sat there for 15 minutes telling me, I know you're this, you're that, you're the other thing, and I know exactly what you're going to say, so okay, we don't match. That was the date, 15 minutes, I get a lecture on who I am. Okay, what was I supposed to say? Everything I tried, I didn't answer the shadchan. I heard the shadchan, I said, you know what? I'll get back to you. And then I went and I asked the shayla. I said, wait a second, what am I supposed to do? You know, it wasn't really an official shadchan. It was really, really good friends of mine who basically were totally shocked because they set me up with their niece. and now I didn't want to say anything bad about their niece, but this is how the date played itself out. That was the answer I got, that you don't have to let her ruin your reputation. Yes, Uri.
Well, I'm starting to see a pattern that now that can be analyzed. And I'm looking for a analogy. An analogy can be drawn from here to shotgun being a car salesman.
That is so true.
Being a car salesman, like, you can get nice cars, to be sure there's an honest car salesman out there. But sometimes you get what they call lemons. In the industry, where the interior car may look nice on the outside, but on the inside, it's even barely going to take you off the parking lot. So my question is, how often do you get these lemons, so to speak, in the world?
I'm very happy you raised that, because that really leads us to two more points. One point is, we discussed it in the very beginning, is how vulnerable you guys are, because you don't have anyone fighting for you. So you're the perfect candidate to be set up with what you just called a lemon, but I would use nicer terms to describe someone who has real issues that anyone who had parents looking into things for them or anyone who had a background would run away from. That's word for the wise, you know. Look into things and speak to people. And when I say people, I don't mean your roommates here at Machon Meir. I mean people who have experience. and the second point, the reason it's not like a car salesman and the reason I say to take each offer seriously is because out of the laws of modesty, we're not supposed to approach a girl directly. You're supposed to try to find a different venue of of meeting a girl. Out of modesty. A girl is supposed to be something that's cherished and something that's you treat with respect and not someone that you just pick up at a bar. So assuming that that's the girl you're looking for, then we say that something like that is done through an intermediary. Now, that means that everyone needs an intermediary. And so chances are it's not like a used car salesman where you only give your car to a used car salesman if you really have a lemon, otherwise you sell it yourself. When it comes to a shidduch, there are a lot of fantastic girls out there that have no way of meeting the fantastic guys. How's she going to do it? So she has no other venue to use other than the shadchan. What's she supposed to do? And that's why, even though I might not trust the shadchanim, I still say look into their offers, because how else is a girl going to get to you? So that's why I would invest time. Any shidduch that you're offered, you should look into. Spend the time, find out. And don't just say, well, this shadchan last time, they set me up like this or like that. Some shadchanim, after once or twice, you start realizing there's no way I'm going out with someone they set me up with. Fine, that can happen. But usually, you shouldn't do that. Usually you should look into every offer seriously. Yes?
I have two questions. One is it perhaps best, if possible, to avoid being friends with a relative of the shadchan? Because let's say if things don't go so well, then you're not reporting back to the shadchan that your family member, you know, is not so great and whatever
So I think we will discuss this at length, but I don't think that the conclusion of meeting someone should be gauging where they're not so great. What we're gauging is where we match. What we're gauging is not what their faults are. It's a totally different approach. And so when I come to the shadchan, I have no problem telling them, I don't think we match on A or B or C. More often than not, I would like to think and I would like to hope the reason you're stopping to see a girl is not because there's something wrong with her, it's because you guys don't match, and that's legitimate, and you shouldn't be embarrassed to say that, and there's nothing wrong with saying that to her or her relative. If you have a choice between who's going to set you up, I prefer a neutral party. But I wouldn't go crazy over it, you know. Whoever's willing to set you up, listen to the offer and just go with it. You don't have to, who has the time to start saying, I don't want you to set me up with your niece. Let's find someone else. You don't have time for that. They're the ones that are offering. Fine.
Okay, and another question, sort of on a different track, going back to what you were saying at the beginning. He called up these two women, and they both, I guess, had surprise answers on the phone that, you know, that you called and it seemed like they didn't want to hear from you. Just wondering, why would they even not want to hear from me if they're looking for somebody that's confusing to me?
Like, there's a stigma out there that people think if I use a shadchan, then obviously I'm not popular enough, because you want to be set up by your best friend with their best friend's sister or their best friend's brother, and then I'm popular, I don't even have to use a shadchan. There's no reason for the stigma. But it exists. A lot of people like to say, I got set up by so-and-so. It's like he said, you can't sell your car, you go to a used car dealer. I can't sell myself, I go to a shadchan. It's stupid, but it's there. So there are a lot of people who work with that stigma. And that also gives shadchanim a bad rap. But there's no reason, especially you guys. Where are you supposed to have someone who's going to set you up? How many people do you know in this country? Someone else grew up here. They have families, they have relatives, they have neighbors. Fine, maybe. Even so, use whatever you can use. They're all tools. If a shadchan sets you up, well, use a shadchan. Yes. Okay. So, we discussed, when should you start dating? We discussed how to start dating. We discussed shadchan, internet, parnasa, verifying about the girl, getting people to set you up, how to deal with the shadchan, the need for a shadchan, and now you finally reach the point where you looked into the girl, you said yes, then the girl looked into you, she will also want references on you, and then after she checked you out, either she did or didn't, some girls don't, and then she said yes, and now you're supposed to call her. Yes?
What does
it
entail?
I don't understand the question.
Okay.
How do you reference?
I mean, in the States, I can run a background check on someone. In this country, what do I do?
We did that last class.
Yeah.
That was the whole class.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No problem.
But you could catch it online.
Oh, you're sure it's online?
Yeah.
Okay.
On the Machon Meir website, on 123Torah.org. It's all there. So, number one. Be a gentleman. You guys know what that means? Okay. You call her and don't leave her a message to call you. You're going to pick her up and don't text message her, right? Hi, I'm trying to reach you. The best you can do is if you see you're not getting through, and by the way, I like to ask the shadchan from the beginning. When I say yes to Shidduch, I would always ask the shadchan, could you find out for me when you talk to her what times she'll be available? I don't want to call and give chase. Give me time when she's available. You don't want to call her when she's in the middle of class. You don't want to call her when she's on a bus. You don't want to call her when she's sitting with all her friends. You don't want to call her when she's in the middle of a wedding. Let her say when she's available. Yes?
You said to pick her up. What does that mean?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah?
It once happened that I wasn't given the time, and I called her from the middle of her work, which happened to be like in at all.
Right, so that's the next point. In the first conversation, and in every conversation, I believe the polite thing to do is to ask if it's a convenient time to talk. Hi, this is Uri. So-and-so gave me your number. Is it a convenient time to talk? Now, the first girl, the first time that I called, so I'm set up with the girl, a Moroccan girl. It doesn't really matter. I don't remember. She was some kind of Sephardi girl. I'm fine. Okay, I agreed. So I call her up. Hi, this is Netana Elfengenthal. And she says, who are you? So I said, Netana Elfengenthal. She says, do I know you? So I said, not yet. I thought that's why I'm calling you. So first time, first girl. And she says, who gave you my number? So I said, okay, there's been a misunderstanding. So-and-so told me they spoke to you. But I guess she says, no, they didn't speak to me. So I said, okay, fine, no harm done. I won't bother you. I wish you well. Why am I telling you the story? Because I felt like I'm not dating for another few months. I got to swallow this. How did they do that to me? Be prepared. Life has surprises. You move forward. You learn to live with them. People make mistakes. I still don't know how they made that mistake. I don't know how that happened. Okay, so you call up a girl and she says, I don't know who you are, who gave you my number. That can happen too. Don't kill the shadchan for it. I'm still friends with the shadchan. Fine. Yeah?
This is a current situation, real life from today, and I still don't know what to do about it. So you said, it's all good. She agrees to meet you. I mean, she agrees to be in contact with you. You've agreed. You call her up, and she's like, hello? Like, is this so-and-so? Yes. And you explain who you are, and they're like, okay. And they're like, is this a convenient time to speak? It's okay.
Wow.
Like, I apologize if I woke you up, maybe you'll... No, no. Good. The whole conversation was dead out of the water, like...
Do you like lemonade?
Like,
maybe she's a
woman. Okay.
Like, at one stage, they even asked her, like, are you just being shy or something? I said straight out. And she's like, not really, or something. I don't know. It sounded like she completely was so uninterested to hear from me. And I wouldn't really care if she didn't say that, but for me, Motzei Shabbat, which is like the end of the week, and I'm wasting my entire week now, something she's probably just going to, like, be absolutely boring.
She might
Okay, so I would. You brought up an important point. I learned one thing in my dating experience, and that is that 80% of the time, your first impression on the phone is wrong. I can't say this time it's going to be wrong. I did say 80, not 100%. I don't know. I mean, it definitely doesn't sound too encouraging, but you never know. Meaning, could be you punked caught her when she just heard her pet cat that she's been bringing up for 7 years died, and she didn't want to share that with you, and she didn't feel comfortable telling you to call a different time. Meaning, I would be very careful. Once you agree to a first date, I would not gauge based on the first phone conversation. And again, I'm telling you my own experience. 80% of the time, it was not what I thought it was on the phone. So I would maintain an open mind, which brings us to the next point. Always maintain an open mind. If you're dating, then be prepared to approach it positively. There's a girl who called me about a certain guy. She had dated him once. She wasn't sure if she should date him a second time. And I told her the little bit I knew, and then she decided, she agreed, she's going out a second time. So the day of the date, it suddenly dawned on me, I called her up, and she said, I gotta run, I'm gonna be late for the date. I said, right, you're gonna be late for the date, you're giving me 2 minutes of your time. So she said, okay, what do you want? I said, you agreed to date him, right? I want you to take 2 minutes now, and focus on being positive. You're gonna date him anyways, right? So then stop and think to yourself, I may marry this guy. He's a good guy. You're not sure if you should have agreed to a second date, right? But you're going on that second date. So stop now. I'd rather you be late for the date, but approach it positively. And to make a long story short, I circumcised their last kid a few months ago. They're married with a bunch of kids. So you're already going into it. Go positive. And even if you have to wait those 2 minutes, to reboot. Yeah. Yes.
What is the purpose of the first phone call?
Oh, we'll get there in a second. I haven't yet gotten there. We'll get there. Yes.
In a situation like Larry's, where we're on Monday and you can't go out till Saturday.
I was waiting for this.
Okay. And
yes, yeah.
Go. Ask you about this, and then someone approaches you 2 days later, tomorrow morning, and says, "There's someone available. Are you interested?" Are you committed to saying, "No, I'm not," because maybe I'm going out with this person on Saturday night? Are you allowed to say, "Sure"? Well, no, because you're not dating. Why can't you go out with this person, let's say, Wednesday night, and you can meet this person on Saturday? I mean, are there any ironclad rules? You can't see two people just at the beginning on the first date. You have two first dates kind of
bad idea. Well, that would be the duration of the day, so you win the morning, one at night.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, but if you still have this,
you're the public ones,
you're supposed to come.
So you can choose.
Did he just tell me, like, he's the.
Oh, that was the other guy. What do you do? You just say, I said I would go up with someone, and I can't go up with anyone else, and that's
good. I think we're jumping ahead of ourselves, but fine, this doesn't have to be in any particular order. I mean, this, we could deal with this now. So, firstly, different people work differently. So, there are those people that once they agree to go out with this girl, or once they're dating this girl, if they're going to start looking into another girl, like Uri said, they're going to start talking to her about the pizza we had yesterday. Oh, it wasn't you, I'm sorry. Okay, so for them, stick to one, okay?
Yeah, but then you have no comparison, and you're going to get attached to one person very quickly. I mean, it's like a photograph.
Slowly, Shmuel, Shmuel.
Going back to that, you have something to compare between the two, and you can pick the best of the two. You know, if you have one, you're going to become attached, and you're going to be blindsided onto saying, well, I'm starting to get accustomed to this person.
You said about five sentences there. Each one is going to be a class on its own. I can't deal with everything you said in this class. Right, so I don't agree with almost anything you said. Five statements, we'll have five classes on each of those points.
You don't feel that when you date one individual?
Well, I can't. I can't. We're going to build towards how do you decide who's Mrs. Wright? How do you understand if this is the right person? And why is it possible to marry the first girl you ever dated? You're talking to a person whose wife married the first guy she ever dated. I dated 50 girls before her, but she married the first guy she met, and we'll discuss how that can be. So it's legamre not the way you're saying it. Forgive me, but that's definitely not the route we're taking here as far as comparison or anything else. If the game is going to be comparison, then I believe a person will never get married. In my mind, from my experience and from the experience of many, many people. So I don't think that's the route to go, but it deserves a much longer discussion. Yeah. I haven't really explained anything I'm saying. I'm just telling you the direction. Back to this question. I think that when a person has agreed to date someone and is already dating someone, it is perfectly legitimate for them to look into someone else on paper. Someone, and we mentioned this in last class, someone comes to you and tells you they have a good shidduch for you. Tell them, yeah, I'd like to hear more. They might be nosy and say, are you seeing someone now? So you could say, yes, I'm seeing someone now, and I'd still like to hear more. And they'll say, don't you think that's immoral? And you'll say, no, I was in this class and they told me to do this. Blame me. I told you I could always be your bad guy. That's okay. To blame me. So long as you can remain focused, and so long as you can remember that on paper everyone looks perfect, so long as you can maintain that, because some people get all confused. On paper, she's amazing. You know, I'm dating this girl, she's a kindergarten teacher. I'm dating this girl, she's a professor to kindergarten teachers. I'm dating this girl, and you know, she's got a nice smile. I'm dating this girl, they say she's a model. You know, okay, right, fine, whatever. On paper, everyone looks better than the person you know in person. So long as you can remain focused and be realistic, so then take down all the information, and even if they offered you 15 girls, and I don't care if your notebook has 100 girls in it. I don't care. So long as you can be realistic and remain focused on the girl you're dating, that's as far as taking down the information. Yes, Yehuda.
Never mind.
Good. I wasn't sure if I wanted to say that. Yes, Yehuda. Yes.
What's the purpose of looking into if you're dating a girl? Is in case like you start having doubts about her that you want to go out, like would you go out on a date? Like what's behind this?
I'm just saying, have the information because just because someone came and offered you a shidduch today doesn't mean they'll remember you and come back to you next week. Everyone says, don't worry, when you're available, come back to me. Right. You know how many times people came back to me and I said, I don't remember who I wanted to set you up with. I have no clue. I started a policy that when I'd want to set someone up and they'd say, no, I'm seeing someone, I'd say, here's the name. Her first name is Karen. At least it rules out all the girls that are not named Karen. If you come back to me in a week, in a month, whatever, remind me the girl I wanted to set you up with, her name was Karen. Then I could go through all the Karens and see which one I had in mind. I don't remember a month later. I don't remember an hour later. Forget a month later. I don't remember. So if someone wants to set you up, take down the information. So long as you can remain focused, take down the information. If you see you ended with this one, so then you'll have choices to choose from. Then you'll choose on paper between one among 5 or 10 or whatever. But that's as far as taking it down on paper. Now, as far as double dating. So, let me ask you how you would feel if you're dating a girl and you're on the third date or the fifth date and you just schlepped up to Netanya, you took 2 hours, you know, you took a long ride, you sweated the bus ride, you stood there swaying back and forth and you got off the bus and finally you met her and you sat with her and she was all smiles and everything was beautiful and you're thinking this really has potential, and then you go back to the bus stop after you've taken a day off of work and a day off of Ulpan and you've canceled a bunch of meetings and you're walking back on cloud number 9 to the bus stop. You know, it is only the third date, you're not getting carried away, you know it might work or not work, and you're standing there waiting for the bus and you just missed the bus and you see the next bus is in 45 minutes. So you're sitting there in the heat, and 25 minutes later, you say, let me go use the restroom. You go to the restroom, and what do you see through the glass window? You see her sitting with someone else, smiling the same smile she was smiling at you 25 minutes ago. And she seems to be having a great time with this other guy. You tell me how you would feel. Third date, I'm saying, you know, yeah, I'm not talking fifth date. So, I never, I never believed in this idea of double dating. I don't think it's fair. I think that there's a certain amount of hishtadlus we have to do in our lives. Waiting 4 days from Monday to Motzei Shabbos, makara. You know, at best you could look into a girl. I think that people who date with this desperate attitude, one in the morning and one at night, it's a wrong attitude. It's not like you have to meet off 150 girls to get the right one. You need to meet one right one. Take the time, look into the girl beforehand. Are there sometimes exceptions to this rule? Yes. Sometimes a girl tells you, I have to go visit my aunt for 2 months. But I like you, you're a nice guy, I just don't know yet where it's headed. Okay, I had a girl do that to me. I was dating her. It was this time of year. It was July or August. July or August. It was going good. We had dated 5 times. And then she said, look, everything's nice, but the summer is here and I'm going to visit my sister. And she flew off to the United States. She flew off to the United States. And then 9/11. I get an email from her. Don't worry, I'm okay. I didn't answer that email because I was already dating my wife. She came back to Israel, I was engaged. Fine. You know, it was her choice. Every person has a choice. If you feel this isn't going anywhere, fine. If you feel it might go somewhere, you say, I don't know, after 5 dates and I'm not canceling my trip to my sister. Fine. I have no regrets. I hope she has no regrets. But I'm just saying, the agreement was, she said, you go on with your life, and if you're still available in 2 months when I get back, we'll see where things are holding. Okay, I wasn't. I don't know if she ever checked. I don't know if she cared. I never got a phone call, so whatever. I'm just saying, there are different circumstances. But I once dated a girl. I had to leave for a week to the United States. She couldn't stand waiting that week. We had agreed that things are going well and for a week. So she'll wait a week. Say, we won't date that week. But she called me up 3 days later as I'm in the United States. She calls me up after 3 days and says, I changed my mind. I wish you well. I'm moving on. I'm like, I said, fine, okay. I wish you well. Good luck. What can I say? I don't think it makes sense for a week's wait to go on. But fine. I'm just saying, there are exceptions. There are scenarios where I think it's legitimate to make an exception, but I think in general the approach should be, I'm doing my ishtadlos. It's not like dating 2 girls a day is going to get me married quicker. It might get me married slower. At the end of the day, there's a certain amount I can attempt to do, and more than that is ridiculous. I don't think it's right. And I'll tell you more than that. I don't think there's any legitimacy to hurting a person's feelings. We had a student here who was dating exactly like that, at least 2 a day. One for breakfast and one for supper. it was very expensive, I guess. I don't know. I didn't set him up because I felt that he's too confused. He's constantly comparing every girl to the 5 other girls he dated this week. I felt like it's a waste of a girl's time to date a guy like that. I wouldn't set him up. The first girl I set him up with, that's when I found out. It was like, breakfast I'm taking. I see him looking through his calendar. Like, I thought he was joking. Then I saw he's serious. So, no. He once told me, I don't believe you have a girl to set me up with. I haven't dated yet. Okay, fine. He got married and then. He got married, Baruch Hashem. He's married. I'm happy for him. But I wasn't willing to play a part of his Russian roulette. I think that you cross a certain line and it's like entering panic mode. You have to date normally. I think one girl is enough. You date her for a week, date her for 2 weeks. I know sometimes a girl says, I have tests this week, we'll only meet next week. Fine. Those are the breaks. A person should double date. I don't think it's right. Are there exceptions? Yes. Sometimes there's a girl, every time you wanted to be set up, she was taken. Every time she wanted to be set up, you were taken. And it goes ping pong for like a year that way. And then finally she gets available after you said yes. And the girl said, I have tests. I'll only see you in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks is not fair. I mean, but the end of the week is fair. you know, Matzah Shabbos, that's fair. She says, I'm not available before that. So I'm saying, if something like that happens, there's room to rethink it. You really, really thought this was a good idea. You've been waiting for this for a year, and now you're stuck waiting until Shabbos. No, I could hear there's room to think about it again. But in general, that I would not take that approach. Yeah?
It sounds kind of similar to what you already said, but basically there's another girl that I referenced last week, end of last week, and I was waiting for a reply from her friend about whether she both agrees to go out with me or not. And that one, on paper, of course, sounds much better than the phone call that I had today. Now, I don't believe at all in double dating, but now what happens that this girl, assumedly in the next day or two, will get back to me and probably or possibly will say that she is interested. Should I just say to her, look, I'm just checking somebody out, I'll get back to you next week? I mean, I can't really do much better than that.
You would do that.
I'll tell you two things. Number one, when I had a scenario that I said yes, and the girl knew I said yes, but took 10 days or 2 weeks to reply, I would never date that girl again. If I said yes, I agreed to go out with a girl, and the shadchan told the girl, I called the shadchan, and the shadchan says, you know, I told the girl you're waiting, and the girl hasn't yet gotten back to me. If that happened for more than a week.
So what's your grace period?
I think it makes sense. It takes a person a day, 2 days, 3 days. After 3 days, I think it's legitimate to call back the shadchan. If the shadchan says, well, she hasn't yet gotten back to me, so you have to know if the shadchan's a liar or not. But on this, usually shadchanim don't lie. If they really called the girl, so the more than 3 days, I'm already starting to wonder what's going on with this girl. But I'll still date her. After a week, even if I date her, I'd have a real serious question on her midot. What's wrong with the person? Doesn't she know I'm waiting? I said yes, I'm supposed to stand there. No correspondence, nothing. She doesn't call the shadchan back for a week. When I had situations like that, usually the answer came back no. Not usually, always. The answer after 10 days or 2 weeks, you're sitting waiting there, you finally get a no. Or I'd call back to the shadchan and say, look, if you can't get through to her and she's not getting back to you, I'm going to have to move on with my life. And if she ever got back to me, I would never date the girl again. Because to my mind, it's bad midot. You know, you don't care about the other person. You don't have to date me, but at least tell me no. And if not me, at least the shadchan, why not return the call? And that goes back to you guys too. If you have a situation where the girl's waiting, which I don't think is the way to do it, but some shadchanim do it, where the girl's waiting for an answer, you have to call the shot. You want to look into her, take a day, maximum 2 days. So no reason it should take longer than that. And after that, it's not right. And I can tell you, I had a guy, I set him up with a girl. He's supposed to call the girl, right? Very nice. He tells me, I'm sick, I have laryngitis, I can't call the girl. Fine, I call the girl, I tell her he has laryngitis. She says, okay, everything looks so good on paper, tell him I'm waiting. End of the week, he doesn't call her up yet. 10 days pass, he doesn't call her up yet. I call him up and I say, what's going on? So he says, well, I decided we don't really match. This is after he said yes. I don't plan on ever setting him up again. I wish him luck. But I it's so not menschlich. She's standing and waiting for him. He'd never bothered to call back and say no. Tell me no. I think it's not right to say no after you agreed to one date. Go out that day. But at least do that. He didn't bother doing that. To my mind, I'm not setting him up again. Maybe if I have a girl that has equally bad traits, maybe it's a good match. Okay, maybe. We'll see. Yeah?
But the time frame here was so tricky. Like, the one I spoke on the phone I wasn't impressed with, she made me, through a website, and I understand that takes longer than phone calls anyway, you have to check the email, etc. It took about close on a week for her to get back to me with this yes. And the one who I'd spoken to on the phone, the reference, that was on Friday. So assumably by, say, tomorrow, she's probably, I also left a message at her house to get back to me. Assumably by tomorrow, she should have...
I'm not following all the dates, but let's leave this for our own conversation, okay?
Now the one on my phone on Friday gets back, that's not sort of a very reasonable time. prepared to get back to me.
So I don't know. I need to hear it through and I could follow. I'm not following anymore. Right. Okay. First phone conversation. What's our goals in the first phone conversation? Yoel, I'm with you if it's short. Yeah.
Well, if you've already gone out with the person once, how long should the guy, like within what time frame, if he's interested in calling her again, call her again?
We'll discuss that, but my opinion is that the next morning. You went out on a date today, so then at the end of the date, you should ask the girl, what time can I call you tomorrow? And call her back tomorrow.
What time are you supposed to go back through the shadchan?
If you're working in certain circles and you're working through the shadchan, call back the shadchan either that night after the date or the next morning. Not more than that. There's no reason to waste her time and your time. But we'll get there. We haven't gotten there. We're going in chronological order. So, first phone conversation. Yes. First phone conversation. What's our goal in this conversation? Number one, to break the ice, which isn't so easy on the phone. Number two, to set up the first date. Where are we meeting? Sometimes the conversation, you just hit it off, which means absolutely nothing. But if you hit it off, so then if the conversation takes an hour, there's nothing wrong with that. Even though, as we've discussed and we'll continue discussing, I am very much against long dates on the phone. But for the first phone conversation, it makes her feel more at ease. She'll come to the date. It's not a total unknown. Fine. I don't care if the first phone conversation lasts an hour. Okay. I remember one of the guys in America, Zarav, he called the girl and... there was once a time when we didn't have cell phones. I don't know if you guys can imagine this, but when I was dating, we didn't have cell phones. We'd wait online for the payphone. So he didn't want to be there with his asimonim and the payphone or the telecard in the Merkaz Rav hallway where everyone's hearing him. So he came down here to Machon Meir, to the phone booth over here. And it was raining, and it was winter. And he's standing there in the cold, shivering, talking to this girl for an hour because she felt she needed to have a longer conversation before the first date. And he's popping in a simonim as the conversation goes on. But to make a long story short, she had such appreciation that this guy was a mensch and he spoke to her and she came to the date feeling comfortable and not like she's coming to a total stranger. She married him. And she said that that was like the turning point was then already. The fact that she felt the guy had patience for her in her first conversation. So, I'm just saying, there's what to be said. There's what to be said. I don't know if she knew he was in the cold. I don't know if she knew exactly where he was. But there is what to be said. If the conversation happens to flow, let it flow. But basically what we're going to discuss is where we're going to meet. And that's where we'll pick up next time. How to choose the place for the first date. Which today has become less complicated because most people have cell phones. But we will discuss that. And in general, in the first conversation, you're not looking to gain too much depth. You're just looking to say hi. A good conversation point is the shadchan. That's the one thing we have in common, who the shadchan is. And that's about it. What are you going to say? Hi, how was your day? I don't feel like telling you. I've never met you. You know? So what can you discuss? You can discuss, how do you know the shadchan? How do I know the shadchan? Where would you like to meet? And what time works for you tomorrow? And I don't think there's anything too terrible if the first conversation lasts only a minute or two. You're going to find a hard time. You're going to find it hard getting it to that minute or two also. Because you don't have too much to discuss. After the first date, you'll have more to discuss. But that's it. So we begin by asking, is it a convenient time to talk? You guys choose a convenient time and place. Don't do it at the bus stop next to the Gesher HaMeitarim. We have buses every 2 seconds. What'd you say? You know, do it intelligently. Pick a good place. Don't do it when your roommates are around listening. Be modest. You don't have to show off to everyone that you're dating. Keep it modest. Keep it quiet. Go to a quiet place and have a normal conversation with her. And don't expect anything too great the first conversation and don't gauge too much based on the first conversation. Once you've agreed to the first conversation, you've basically agreed to a first date, so you're going to see her anyways. So, whatever, let it flow from there. So that's that in a nutshell. We'll pick up here next week, Bizlat Shem, with... the first date. Yeah.
Also, what I want to say is the character, the thing about double dating is the character that you speak about a person. Like, they speak the story about the guy bringing and pulling the date home. That's like the opposite of like double dating, but it's like, by saying double dating, like, I have no patience, I'm almost assuming from the get-go that this isn't going to work out. And I can just end up with a chance that if I found out that a girl was double dating, I would question her, like, her ability to commit to things and say, you know, like, okay, so if you're double dating now, like, how's that going to come up in other parts of your life? And how can you not think about, like,
I hear, it's a good point. I would mention one more thing. On your first date, I got this piece of advice from someone and it worked and it's a good idea. Your first date, your second, the first time you're dating or the first few times you're dating, it's okay if you ask the shadchan to tell the girl, hey, I've never done this before. Because this way the girl has less expectations, you know. I don't know exactly what I'm doing and let's figure this out together. I think it's fair and it's even a good idea to say this, and you could say it up front. Hi, you know, you could bring it up within the first 10 seconds of conversation. Look, I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to do here, so help me out. It alleviates some of the pressure because you don't have to fake like you know what you're doing. This is the first time I'm dating in Israel. This is the first time I'm dating in Tel Aviv. You can figure out, you know.
I had a date in 25 years.
Right. So I'm saying that it alleviates pressure and it's a good thing to do. Yeah.